I call this Village of Pomona Zoning Board of Appeals meeting to order at 7:38 p.m. on February 18th, 2026. The first thing we have tonight is the approval of the minutes. Oh, you know what? Before we get there, I'd like to first, we have a new member, and I'd like to welcome him, Moshe Levy, who lives here in Pomona, obviously, on Tara Drive. And he has been living here in the community at least for 6 years, for longer than I have. So he's a really nice guy, and welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, next. Now we have from last meeting, 9 Cheesecoat, which we did not get a full resolution one way or another on. But actually, so I am going to make a motion to, do we have to put it back on? Or
well, no, you don't need
just
a motion.
Make a motion to vote on it.
Well, it's on for old business, because the reason it's on is because, if you remember, after the vote, was an unusual circumstance, because it was a vote to approve on certain conditions, and the vote only got 2 votes. I think it had 2 votes for, 1 vote against, and 1 abstention.
Right.
So the vote did not, it was not approved. So between the meetings, you know, I was going to, you know, look into and give you what your options may be. And
right.
That's why it's on here. And I can.
So we could, though, I can make a motion to make a new resolution and see if we can get that.
Yeah, there's.
Would be an option. Do we not have to make a new open or reopen the public hearing?
No, right? No. You can't. Look, there's a couple options. You could, if somebody wanted to make a motion to rehear it, there would have to be unanimous, and then any different result would have to be unanimous. There's also an option where, if there's another motion, for example, there could be a motion to deny, that's a different motion, or there could be a new motion to approve adding a condition or changing the conditions. What you can't do is you can't vote on the identical motion twice.
Right. Okay,
so
perfect.
If, you know, those, if the board, since it's on the agenda for old business, you can you don't have to. You cannot reopen a hearing without one of those motions. But you can discuss what you want to do, and if anybody has if anybody has a new motion, a new condition or something, or a motion to deny, whatever it may be, you can. Whoever has that can offer that, and maybe that garners a different result. Maybe it doesn't.
Okay,
or you can do nothing.
So okay, perfect. So I have a motion to pass the resolution adding conditions that the applicant should add screening on the back portion of the property that abuts the state park. And if maybe the engineer has ideas of what sort of vegetation could go on the condition, but that would be my motion. Is there a second of that motion?
So let me just be
yeah.
clear. So we're clear. So the motion, you're offering a motion, the screening, are you looking for the applicant's sake and for the other board members, are you looking for screening, you know, along the portion of the improvements, like where the, where the pool house and the patio are? Or the entire backyard.
Not the entire
just the
backyard.
Area where the improvements are.
Yeah, that abuts the state park area.
Got it. And so you're looking to do that to say have that be a condition that the applicant maybe present a plan subject to the approval of say Morton Spence
engineer.
Does it provide sufficient screening?
Yeah. Right?
So the motion would be the motion that you're offering is a new motion. It's to approve the variances sought on the same prior conditions, which were, number one, compliance with Martin Spence's prior memos, then all the usual ones, which is compliance with all laws, rules, and regulations, compliance with the plans submitted, payment of all due fees. That was the motion last time. You're making that same motion, but adding a substantive condition to say the applicant shall provide vegetative screening between the improvements that are planned and for which approvals are sought and the park side of the property, subject to the final approval, review and approval of the village engineer.
Yeah, that is correct.
That's your motion.
Okay. That's the motion.
Okay.
Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Is there any discussion? In other words,
you could certainly have a discussion. Yeah.
Because I think what you're doing is absolutely wrong. We're setting a precedent now for a 9-foot setback only to accommodate someone who, based upon what you said earlier, that you're familiar with. And I think to do so, especially after having not passed the first time, is disingenuous. And therefore, I vote no.
Okay. I don't know what you mean familiar with. I don't...
Well, you gave us a whole rundown on his background and the fact that he was a developer and that he could live anywhere. These were your words. It's just that I happen to remember them.
I wasn't here for the first three meetings.
No, when we had our private meeting in closed session, when we were discussing the law that applied.
So you mean the attorney-client session? No, there was no violations of any open meetings law. That's what
absolutely
you meant, right?
Not.
Yeah, yeah.
Nevertheless, I think to do so under the circumstances when it had already been voted down, and this is.
It wasn't voted down. It just
went
failed
pass,
to.
And
yeah,
this,
okay.
And this is window dressing at best. There's no substantial change to the plan. It's still 9 feet from the property line. There's been no accommodation to make it less offensive to zoning laws. And therefore, I vote no.
Okay, I believe that the property is uniquely situated, and I vote to approve it. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Seeing three votes in favor and one against and one abstention for Moshe, as he's a non-voting member on this one, the application passes as approved, conditionally approved.
Okay, so then you should, if you would, take another motion to direct me to prepare a resolution and to authorize the chairman to sign it.
Sure. Is there a motion to direct the attorney to prepare a resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Aye. Any against?
No.
One no, three in favor. The resolution, the motion passes to direct the attorney to prepare the resolution.
Okay.
The next order of business is a new application for 12 Hidden Valley. Who's here on 12 Hidden Valley? Come on down.
From Civil Tech. I'm the engineer for the applicant, and the address is 139 Lafayette Avenue, Suffern, New York. So I think my voice carries, so you're probably okay, even though it's not in the microphone. So this application is the single family house where they're looking to put a pool, and I believe the variances that they're seeking are for the side yard for the pool. This is the location, it's 20 feet, and then they have window wells that are 20.4 feet, where the 25 is to the house. And then I believe that it was a determination of the village that the window wells, even if the pool was shifted, the window wells at 20.4 feet still would need the variance. But we are proposing the 20 feet for the pool. And then on this side, there's 36 feet from the cabana to the property line, but it keeps some grass area open on that side. They comply with the development coverage and the other setbacks.
I'm going to open the map up here.
Do you have a map?
seek this, I guess this is the variance. 20 on the side instead of 25. This is right. R40. The minimum square feet. Existing code so it can scale better. What I'm seeing right here is
because they might be a pre-existing
I guess the patio was there on the 18th and they closed it down today. Yeah.
Can I ask the applicant's engineer a question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Rachel, you mentioned the setbacks with the pool. The plans identify a development coverage variance as well.
What's the date on the plans that the village has? Because I didn't make this in the middle, and I don't...
The plans that I received, 8/15/2025 is page 1.
Okay, so then page let me check, because that was not the one I printed out. I printed this one. Sorry.
Yeah, and...
That's what I wanted to ask.
And what's happening is the narrative, the plans... and Lou and the zoning officer's review letter, which doesn't reference a set of plans, which makes it more difficult to find out what he reviewed. The variance,
okay, so
the
you have a plan that has an imperviable sport court on it?
Okay, so the plans I have are impermeable.
Yeah, sorry, okay.
Permeable,
so,
oh, patio.
So that
oh, impermeable sport court.
So yeah, so I didn't know what they had submitted, so then ignore this, and yes, the plan that has the sports court would need a development coverage therein.
Okay.
I'm not sure there was a conversation about removing a sports court, but if they submitted one with the sports court, then that is what they determined they were going with. The sports court is what puts it over development coverage. And that is a challenging spot to make it permeable, because we would have to be certain materials. But thank you for clarifying.
But it is curious, though, because Lou, in Lou's review memo dated December 22, he doesn't mention anything about it. So I wonder, it sounds like there's two different, it might be two different iterations of the plans, one to Lou and one to the board.
So my thought is, this was not a public hearing anyways, correct?
Right.
If we can continue this, and at the next meeting of the public hearing, we'll make sure everyone has the same plan, including me. And I can find out from the applicant which one they decided to go with, but we had to continue it to the next one for a public hearing anyway, so it's not a loss of time, but I will make sure that within the next week that the correct plans are to everybody so that everything is properly
so written. You want to put it on next month for you want the public hearing next month, or you want to just submit the plans to us and then let's have another?
I mean, my thought would be if we just go to a public hearing, but that's obviously up to the village and, you know, up to your
because
board.
I'm also, like, seeing, I mean, at least the narrative. I'm going to look at the full narrative again. Because it's, what's the second variance on the egress wells?
So there's window wells along the building. In some municipalities, if the window well is not poured as part of the foundation, then the window well doesn't count for the setback. The window well is 20.4 feet to the property line. The structure itself meets the 25 feet. And so that is up to the village, whether the village determines that the setback should be measured to the window well or the structure. So that's the 20.4 where the 20 feet is to the pool.
Did Lou make a determination on that?
He did. He mentioned that. He said, in addition, the basement egress wells are also going to require a variance since they sit at 20.5.
Which he's citing 20, and I know it's a small difference. He's citing 20.5 and the plan says 20.4.
Yeah, so we'll make sure that everything matches. We're requesting the 20 feet because that's for the pool, so we don't even have the 20.4 listed here, but we did call it out. So whichever the case is, but our bulk requirement is requesting the 20 feet, which is worse.
Right. So the only issue that I have, just legally, is if we're going to go to a public hearing, you got to know what to notice. It doesn't sound like we know exactly what the variances are that we're...
Yeah. So if I have it to you within a week, would that... I mean, usually the notice is 2 weeks, so it would give enough time. But again, I defer to the board. But that would be my request. You obviously decide however you think is best.
I mean, there's a couple different thoughts that I have, right? Number one, you know, on the one hand, typically you'd like to know before you vote to set it down for a public hearing what you're setting it down for a public hearing on. So that would kind of make you lean towards, hey, look, let's get the plans right, let's come back next month, look at where we are, and then vote to put it on a public hearing for the following month. Alternatively, if the board wanted to, one thing you could do is just notice it for a hearing on whatever, include the development coverage variance in the notice, include the 20.4 in the notice, not the 20.5.
Well, the 20 is noticed, so that's worse.
That's true. That's you're right. The 20 is closer than the 20.4.
So either way. So even if you had a problem with the pool, you knew that there was still the window well. So
right.
You still have that aspect to consider, that the 20 isn't going away. But so that at least you know what the difference was between the two.
Is there a third option?
I mean, I think
that's it, right?
That's really it. Is either have the applicant clean all this up, have Lou take a look at. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, really, Lou should be looking at. We need to make sure that Lou is looking at the exact plans that this board is considering, so that Lou is the first person that's got to determine what variances are necessary. You know, I know in the past. I'll leave that alone. Those are the options. You could get by either way, but
I'll state my opinion. But does anyone else have an opinion on do they want to go right to the public hearing, or should they come back when they clean it up next time?
I don't feel strongly, but it seems cleaner to have them clean it up and have everything go to Lou first in the final form, and then to us, and then instead of a hearing.
It's kind of my thoughts. Moshi.
I agree.
You get it's basically right. The public hearing
will be easier to determine.
So the way kind of like the procedurally it works, like they have like these kind of first time ons, and then it's a public hearing where anyone from the public, well, from the village, can come on down and state their
opinion.
Right. And then generally after the public hearing is when they get a vote on it. So that's kind of. If they come back one more time, then we can kind of discuss it and see if they're ready then for the next hearing to have it.
So prior to go to the public hearing, they need to submit a clean...
Right, exactly. Clean. Are they taking the 20? Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then we can decide to go public hearing or not?
Yeah.
So...
Well, you would have the public hearing after that, but you would be deciding what the public hearing is about.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you can't just say I don't want to.
They have because the applicant has certain obligations to post. Like you see it on like the phone polls, right? It says like notice of public hearing. So in that, they actually have to accurately describe what they are seeking, so the public can decide if they want to come down and speak or not. My thoughts are that I guess let's get exactly what you're doing, get it back to Lou, and then come back to us next month, and then we'll go for the public hearing.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Next, we have a public hearing for 29 Northridge. Can someone make a motion to open the hearing?
So all the hearing notices and everything is in order?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Paul, come on down.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Paul Baum. I'm the attorney for the applicant with Sarajian and Baum, 155 North Main Street. So we were here last month to introduce this project, and the board scheduled our public hearing for tonight. This is an addition to an existing house, and the applicant is proposing, in addition to the home addition, a pool and a pool house, and some minor improvements to the front of the house, which consists of a very low deck off the, what portion of the house are those? I think the bedroom. And we're here seeking some very minor variances. The first variance that we're seeking is for the front yard variance. You're required to have 50. We're providing 49.6 feet. That 49.6 feet is to these decks. I think last time we referred to them as window wells, but they're really not. It's really just a low deck that's about how high off the ground, Jimmy? 18 inches, you said? These decks in front. So they're not elevated, they're not raised, and we missed the front yard requirement by 0.4 feet, which is very minimal. The other variances that we need, one is for lot coverage. Again, that's minimal. We showed at 21%, but technically we're at 20.5%. So we're really only a half a percent over, but it was rounded up. I know Rachel likes to do that in case there's, you know, some minor deviations during the building. But the actual development coverage is 20.51%, so we're a half a percent over. And then the last one is for the side yard for the pool house, which we're 3.6 feet off the required 25 feet. They have looked at other alternatives to not have to come here for variance for the pool house. But as you can see, the lot drops off very steeply to the back. There are some retaining walls that are being built. If you give them some usable space for the pool and the pool house. So if they were to relocate that pool house to avoid this variance, they would have to disturb even more of this steep slope, which was the goal, was to disturb as little of the steep slope as possible. So this was the alternative that was proposed, which again is a very minor variance. And, you know, quite frankly, the applicant feels this is the minimum necessary to provide these improvements for the home because of the steep slopes and the way the property drops off. So we're asking for these very minimal variances for this project. And we're happy to answer any questions that any board members have with regard to the variances.
What is that? 21.40. No, it's
So the things that remember the first one we're asking for is the lot coverage.
Yeah,
that's the total. So basically, the law really says it's 15%, plus you get an extra 5% accessory dwelling use. So really, it's 20. So like accessory dwelling uses are proposed pool house, right? So they got their 20%, but now they need to just their half a percent over, which is really built in.
It's in line with. I guess it depends on the mix. So all you can really be using of the actual areas.
Of the height, yeah.
Obviously, it's usable because this seems to be
Right, because this is a, this is a cliff here. You can see here. This is the topography, right? You see from like 830 down to, it goes so down 7, about, that's even less down here, 787.
30 feet to
it drops right off, yeah. It's really steep. So I see that it's pretty close. It goes off pretty quick there.
Yeah, what's the drop-off, Rachel, do you know?
Oh, my gosh, it's huge.
It's so about 35 feet.
So the front of the property, we're at 845, and back here, we're at 785. So it is, it's considerable. And then even through here, where we were putting our pool, we're at 838. So from here to the back, we're dropping off, yeah, so 785 from 838. So it's a big one, 50 feet.
What's on the steep, what's in the slope? Open? Completely open?
Just some trees.
Yeah, it's undeveloped.
It's undeveloped, yeah. So we've done the steps walls to comply with what the village is looking for. And then also, just of note, there is a 20-foot utilities easement on this side, and the pool house is out of the easement, of course, but just to make it, you know, another unique feature of the property.
We can't just make the pool house a little bit closer to the pool? A draw closer?
I mean, well, we were discussing that, and the only reason they want to leave it where it is one, it's a pretty minor variance, and as you can see, they have very minimal flat area behind the house. And if you move that pool house over, that little bit of space between the pool house and the pool gets reduced, and they don't have much area there.
How much?
So they're looking to, you know, just keep that additional 3.5 feet, the 3.6 feet.
Only about 15 feet from the pool house to the pool. So give them room to...
Right, yeah, at least a little something.
Yeah, like if they have a couple of chairs and a table, I mean, it's not that big.
Yeah, you can't go back because of steep slope laws.
Every time we go back, it creates more and more walls.
And the prohibition against shot rock. I mean, I remember this from when I was on the planning board.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
So we tried to do what we could to minimize, where that slope is. And it takes a lot to catch up to that slope. I mean, in the one corner as it is, we had to step it.
Deep slope walls. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't develop back there.
Is that to do with the water runs?
Everything. You'd have the whole mountain falling down eventually if you overdeveloped it.
How about extended?
There's nowhere to go.
Brooklyn.
Only because I walk past there every day with my dog. So.
Yeah, it's...
No, like this will move a little bit.
Yeah, the goal was... Minimal disturbance on the steep slopes, so keeping everything pushed to the front, and then we limit ourselves on the space because, you know, we do have this large area behind the home that's not usable. So based upon the small flat area that's going to be created behind the home, they want to keep as much as they can. And 3.5 feet, I know, doesn't sound like much, but it is a big difference to the home. And again, we feel it is a very minimal variance based upon some of the other projects that have been before this board.
How about make it smaller? How about making the pool house a little bit smaller on one side? Where it gets, because the back, not the back, the side that is very close to the wall, you have more than 21.4, correct?
The back part of the pool house?
The sides are close to the cliff. Right, it's kind of...
you probably only need a variance for the one side of
it. Yeah, it's one side is 21.4,
but that's what he's
right?
saying, that's where he's going to lose the 3 feet if they made this straight like that. I think that's where he's going to lose the feet.
You say you're afraid to lose more space on the pool house or more space between
the pool house. The concern is here, if we shift this over, 3.5 feet, then we're losing whatever little area that we have in front.
Then it's only 12 feet.
Right, again, so not talking about this, I'm talking about make the pool house a bit smaller. Because you see, you have more room here, and this is where you have the issue, right here, right?
So I'm going to gain a half a foot?
This is where we have the issue, yeah.
That's not going to make it or break it. If you go like this, you cut it down like this, so you're going to gain a foot and a half on the pool house by a corner?
So I wanted to, I also want to point out, you know, you're talking about this side, and could we get that to 25? The addition, because we're limited where we can put the addition is 23.2 feet. We are calling out on our bulk table this 21.4 because that's smaller. But if you went to 25 here, we would still be asking for a variance for 23.2 here. So the bulk table is calling out the worst spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I just want to point out that we have that as well.
Okay.
And it seems like you don't want to change.
No, I mean, it seems like they, I mean, they definitely right. have seemed like they tried to,
right. to squeeze
wedge,
it.
Really wedge it in there. Okay. Do we, we can have a motion to hear from the...
You don't need a motion. It's the public hearing's open. You can now ask if anybody in the audience would like to be heard, any member of the public.
Okay, perfect. Is there anyone who would like to speak on 29 Northridge? Seeing none? Okay. I guess we can have a discussion on it now. Oh, sorry. Mr. Engineer.
Yes.
Please.
I prepared a review date January 20th, 2026. It describes the light a lot. Approximately half of it is very steep slopes towards the east. So the development is very limited on the west side off Northridge Road. The topography is very similar in that area. Site's being redeveloped. I have a question for the engineer. The driveway, it looks like you're doing a lot of work to reconfigure an existing driveway, especially that north leg. Is there any reason why you're not leaving the existing driveway? You're actually kind of slightly... relocating it to the north. It seems like a lot of work for...
I can see if we can kind of use this entrance to come in here, and we can try that.
Yeah, and that eliminates that encroachment
into
the easement, which is more optimal.
Okay, yeah, that part we could do.
And then the development coverage, you're asking for 260 square feet. Have you looked at using permeable pavers anyway in an area, a very select area that would eliminate that variance?
Well, we can look at it. I'll calculate and see what this does, changing to use the existing driveway. I knew that it was a small difference, but I will double check and see what we're going to do.
Yeah, Martin, on that one, I mean, we figured, you know, we're talking about a 0.5% variance, and to just, you know, take one little piece and put in, you know, a different kind of paver of, you know, 260 square feet just to avoid that 0.5% variance, it didn't seem worth it. We thought it was so minimal that they just wanted to leave it the way it was. You know, they have, you know, sufficient wells to... going to get any additional runoff from that extra 0.5% of development coverage. So
okay.
The thought was to just leave it where it is rather than try and find, you know, a small area to use for permeable pavers.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I had engineering comments, S1 for rest 15. Does the applicant have any issues with those comments? Which could be made conditions if the board finds this application favorable.
They all seem fine to be conditions.
Yeah, other than the realignment that you've already discussed, Jimmy, I think you had commented that it where you're showing the proposed realignment of the driveway, it looks cleaner, it's neater, rather than...
Can it be done different? Yeah, but it's a look. It's a certain...
to look on to keep everything symmetric.
And that's not creating any need for any variances, so that was the preferred layout. If the board wants the applicant to go back in to the original alignment, obviously that can be done.
We don't take issue with it. It was just an observation that they were doing a lot of work just to relocate the driveway, but the applicant's explanation, if it's an appearance item, I don't take issue with it being proposed that way. And then the only other thing I would suggest is typically for any variances, the board may want to discuss landscaping as a method of mitigation of any variances if there's any areas that you want landscaped.
It's going to be landscaped.
Yeah, we have no objection to providing some additional landscaping behind that pool house where we're, you know, encroaching 3.5 feet into that side yard. So, if the board wants us to do that, we're happy to do that.
Does anyone have any other questions or comments for the applicant? Okay, should we, should we go through the five-factor balancing test?
Sure. Yeah, you can discuss it. Yeah, again, you can, it's probably fine to discuss it while the hearing's still open. That way the applicant can address it and if there's anything that comes up. So, the board, as the board knows, and as our new member likely knows, but isn't quite as familiar as the other members, the standard to be applied to an area variance application like this is to compare the imbalance, the benefits sought by the applicant through the variances sought against any detriment to the health, safety, and welfare to the community that would be caused by the grant of the variance. That balancing test is guided by five factors. The first one of which is whether there's be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or any detriment to nearby properties occasioned by granting the variance. So that's factor number one. How does everybody feel about that?
How many years have you been living there? Is that you read out to us?
Yeah.
How many years have you been living there?
Just the builder.
Oh, you're just the builder. How many years the owner lives there?
Just bought the house. Uh-huh. Actually moving in his mother.
It's been a house there for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty minimal.
The only reason why he's making the addition to the house is because he's moving in his mother to keep her on the ground level. Basically, it's a handicapped area for
us. You're referring to the back of the house?
This
what?
Yeah, this addition here.
Or this one?
The side. The right side of the house.
You're adding a bedroom on that floor for the parents. Yes, this is so
much. Right.
I'm proving it. In my opinion, it's minimal, and especially have half of the lot is empty, and it's keep it in the nature and the favor of the village. So I approve it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right, yeah, so that's the first factor. Nobody's identified any undesirable changes or detriments. The second factor is whether the applicant's, the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved through some other feasible means. Are there feasible alternatives that can achieve the same benefit?
Well, I'm of the opinion that based upon the steep slope in the back and the limitations placed by the steep slope law and the topography, there is no other feasible way to accomplish what he's trying to do.
Right. I mean, other than saying going back completely to the drawing board, which is against what the applicant has asked us for, I don't think it's feasible either. Especially if you're telling us it's also for the first floor, I understand that position.
Okay, the next factor is whether the area variance is substantial.
It's probably one of the least substantial ones that we have seen.
I don't see this being substantial.
Next is whether there's any adverse impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district.
How about making this entire driveway more circular just going south, if that would save us 0.5%?
No, it's not going to save them.
No,
it's not going to save either way.
Yeah.
I don't think any detrimental environmental impacts have been identified.
Right. Doesn't seem like from the engineering report there are any issues.
Okay, and last is whether the variance is whether the hardship is self-created. And, you know, as the board knows, on an area variance, that's not dispositive.
What was that again?
In an area variance as opposed to a use variance, if the difficulty that the applicant is trying to overcome is created by their own doing, if they, among other things, there's a variety of ways it could be self-created. But if they're voluntarily looking to just put an addition into a setback that they know was there when they bought the house, that's going to be considered self-created, but that doesn't require a denial of the variance. In a use variance context, it does require a denial. It's self-created, that's the end of it. But this is not that. This is an area variance. Mm-hmm.
It's always self-created, because if you want a pool and you need a variance, then yes. But I think people should be, they have the right to ask for things in their backyard.
And, it can be mitigated by the, the uniqueness of the property given the topography in the back.
I mean, they have a significant amount of
point, which is not self-created.
Right. They have a significant backyard here that they can't use.
But they bought the house knowing this is it. Right. So it
right. Self-created in that respect, with some mitigating factors.
Right.
Right.
But that contributes also,
if it bought for not having this steep slope, they wouldn't have this issue at all.
Yeah.
All of the factors are lining up in favor of a grant of the variance. The only thing that I would be unclear of is any conditions, including the specific the landscaping issue. Is there a specific spot or location or type of landscaping that the board would like to ask the applicant to provide? And usually it's not just landscaping, because that's not mitigating the variances. Typically, the landscaping that we're talking about is screening if there's, an encroachment into a side yard setback. Is there any particular spot that you think that the variances being requested could be mitigated by the use of vegetative screening?
Probably behind the area behind the pool house. And I guess possibly...
Is it to east?
Possibly behind here, and then I guess if you want to be equal, then on the area behind the proposed addition.
What's on this side?
That's someone else's property over here. Their house is probably here.
Plant within that easement, Rachel?
I would limit the planting within the utilities easement. You could probably put landscaping on the corners, but outside of the easement, I would.
Yeah, I agree.
They can keep it on the inside of the...
Yeah, maybe...
But that's not really going to be enough for screening.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any landscaping within the easement. You could put landscaping on the corners between the driveway and the west side of the pool house and along the rear area.
Okay, and then you could impose a condition that the applicant submit that and subject to the review and approval of the village engineer.
Maybe like two spruces on the south side of the proposed addition, just to somewhat scale it and provide some screening.
Okay, anybody have any other conditions or thoughts before you close the public hearing and take a vote?
I'm good.
Bill?
Yehuda?
No.
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 Alan?
No.
No. Moshe?
No.
Okay.
Okay, do I have to have a motion, or
yeah,
I can just call the vote for...
No, you take a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay.
So is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
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 Aye. Seeing the vote unanimous to close the public hearing. And then I guess we can... is there a motion to... to approve the application subject to the engineering conditions, subject to the standard conditions, subject to what else you got over there?
Yeah, so it would be compliance with the engineering conditions in Martin Spence's 120-26 memo, the three usual conditions, which are compliance with the plans submitted, compliance with all the laws, rules, and regulations, payment of all due fees, and then the provision of landscaping and screening, as discussed on the record, behind the pool house on the corners, but outside of the easement, and on the south side of the addition. That would be the motion, subject to the, to approve subject to those conditions.
Okay. So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any noes? No. Okay. Seeing that there is no noes, the motion passes unanimously, subject to the conditions. We also now have to make a motion to direct you to draft a resolution reflecting the approval and the conditions.
Yes, and then to authorize the chairman to sign it if he finds it in conformity with the proceedings here tonight.
Okay. Do we have that motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Seeing no noes, the motion passes unanimously to direct the attorney to prepare the resolution subject to the conditions stated.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you to the applicant.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Good to see you all.
Okay. The next order of business. We have Three Hidden Valley. Come on down.
Do you have me again?
Okay, great, Rachel.
I just said to Paul, I didn't know that I had four jobs in Pomona. Somehow I had four tonight. I think it was in waves, but I hope I didn't bore everybody too much. So, Three Hidden Valley Drive is the application. The variance is for the development coverage. There is an existing house, there is an existing pool.
Okay. Hold on, Rachel. Sorry to interrupt you, but I do need a motion to open your next public hearing.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
Sorry, just for procedure.
No, I... Better
so I guess I can make the motion to open the public hearing for Three Hidden Valley Drive. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion is granted to open the public hearing for Three Hidden Valley Drive. Now you may continue.
Thank you. As I said, the development coverage that's requested is 25%, where 20 is permitted. There is this existing house. There is currently a driveway in the front. They're looking to reconfigure and have the garage on the side, which would move the driveway over here. We have reduced the width of the driveway to try to bring down the coverage a little bit, and then we are proposing a deck. There, where the existing deck is, we're looking to put an addition, and then there would be a new deck in this corner. And then a patio between the addition and the existing pool, so that it's all kind of tied together. And a covered patio with a deck along the front. So the footprint doesn't increase considerably, but with all of these changes, the development coverage is going from 18% to 25%. And There is not a lot of space to change pervious materials other than the driveway, but with the driveway, the maintenance of it and everything, the applicant is requesting not to use pervious materials because the maintenance is increased. And then...
That's why we're extending the driveway.
So the builder also mentioned the current driveway is steep, so they're looking to extend the driveway. It makes it a little less steep so that it is more usable. And then the property is unique because it's between Hidden Valley Drive and Babcock Lane. So it actually has, it's kind of in between the two of them, but there's a large head, there's a hedgerow through here, which makes it so that it's separated from Babcock. But that just is a unique feature of this property. But it kind of is limiting to where things are situated.
What are the adding position? They want to do this, adding to the driveway, and that's where the pool is. It's really dumping it out is the driveway.
Yeah, so the driveway gets relocated to the side to be a side entry garage. And it gets to be a little not as deep.
You see? I'm not sure what was the point. What was the driveway? Here's the driveway.
I have a question. Does the covered patio add to the increase in the developmental coverage?
Yeah, that's right. That's where it was.
Yeah. So there is. There's a right now. There's a walkway. There's just a small door. This kind of squares it off. And then just has one walkway through the front. There is an existing deck. There's two decks in the back. So they are impervious, but now we're squaring it off. We're adding this staircase to get down from the deck down to this patio. But the pool is existing, and it does have a small concrete pad next to it. But they want to have a more reusable patio by that pool.
And these are wooden decking or like elevate? Yeah.
I'll say my name.
Yeah, go ahead.
Moshe Eisen, Master of Construction. Your question was about the deck. Yes, so the rear deck, there is an existing deck on the home. In place of the existing wood deck is an addition to the home. That's what we're proposing. Next to the addition is a replacement of roughly the same size of a wooden deck to replace what was the wooden deck. That makes sense.
But it's like elevated. It's not
so
around the ground.
Correct, yeah. It's way above the ground. It's
right, okay.
How did they get to the garages prior to the new proposal?
Sure. So the existing garage is a single door right here. Sorry, Rachel.
Okay.
And an existing driveway.
The existing garage is in the front. The door to the garage is in the front.
Yes, this is an existing home. The garage door is actually right here.
Right here.
That's exactly. So this is really steep. Yeah, and they got kids getting licenses.
This is really steep.
Yeah.
And this is not steep.
It's less steep. It's unavoidable. We have quite a bit of elevation change from the road to the home, so it's sort of there's only so much we can do. But by moving it out further this way, you see the lines are a bit further apart, the topography lines. Mm-hmm. This gives us a longer run over a less steep area, which equals to us a less steep driveway. The truth is it's not ideal for us, but this is the best we can do. And this allows a longer run here so that coming... This driveway here really poses a danger in the snow and the ice, and this is what the applicant was here during the last meeting. This is what we discussed. I'll step back.
How steep of a slope is the new driveway?
Rachel, do you know?
I can...
Seems like... This is
you're asking what the difference in the slope is?
Yes.
Because this is less.
And if I have to do anything more than height over distance.
Why equals mx plus b?
What?
I said y equals mx
plus
b.
I could do this.
I remember that one.
There are calculators for these things
now.
Yes.
I mean, we're...
So So the new driveway is at 10%, and the old driveway was closer to 14%, 13-14%. So it's
30% reduction.
Yeah, what
were the numbers again?
The new one is at about 10%, and the old one was like 13-14%. So it is definitely better.
The reason why I ask is, I don't know if there still is, but there used to be a provision in the village code that if the driveway was above a certain slope, it had to have a parking pad towards the bottom because of the problems you just identified. But I think 10% is okay.
Yeah, 10% has been fairly standard, especially in the village. I have had a couple that had to even go up to 12 just on the mountain. This one is not, but just there's certain lots. Your village doesn't make it. It's not an easy village, and you have a lot of change in slope.
How big is
a lot of unstraight driveways?
Yeah, the zigzagging and.
Mr. Chairman, we are asking on our comment S12 that the first 10 feet of the driveway apron be graded at 4% because that's code, and then the rest is shown at 10% just for safety. This way, that last 10 feet or so is a little flatter for access and also ingress egress.
I mean, is there any way, we were talking about the permeable pavers, either like to replace, where the patio area, or the current concrete pad, just it's a 25% or what, 25?
I believe we're 24.2.
So we're 24.2. Lou's letter calls it out as 25.2. I'm not sure why. It's 24.2. I did round up in the bulk table to 25. That is, but I do have it here specified as 24.2. If you wanted this to say 24.2, I can. I generally
round up to the nearest whole number. It's still kind of a lot. It's still kind of a lot on the lot coverage.
Right. So the only area that would even be in discussion for a pervious paver would be like the pool patio, which honestly makes up a very small portion of what's causing us to do this variance. And this is something we discussed in the last meeting, that the driveway was, Rachel, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's the largest item here on our coverages.
I believe, didn't we have one applicant who just added some pervious pavers to the bottom of his driveway? And that was able to rectify the issue because he had the same. And it was also up the mountain in one of the neighbors.
You know the percentage of the new driveway? Is it 2%, 3%?
What's the question?
No, you move from 20 to 25, right?
Okay.
In the 5%, how many percentage is the driveway?
Oh.
Is 1% of it?
So 3% of it? The original driveway was about 1121 square feet. The new driveway is 1516 square feet, so we're adding about 400 square feet. So we made the driveway narrower than it was in the existing condition to make up for some of the additional length. And then, we had to have the 20 feet, we had to have it as wide as the double car garage is, and then we have our turnarounds so that they could back out and then come out through your drop through here. So we reduced the width compared to the existing condition.
Do you know in percentage out of the 5% in addition, how much is the driveway?
5.2%.
So we have from 20 to 25, right? That's the variance that we want to move. We have that extra 5%. Out of the 5% total, how much is the driveway? Is this like 2% out of the 5%? Because if this is, she said that's the biggest item, right?
It is, but it's kind of for me altogether that it's a lot of belief for us. One of the
right.
Does anyone remember something larger
than 4.2%? That's about the upper limit.
So if they mitigate,
it's also trying to use. It's also Bill. I mean, I think I see Baker on the.
I mean, so the difference of that 400 extra square feet from the existing to the proposed, 400 square feet out of the whole lot area would be 1.3%. So maybe that's what you're asking. I'm not entirely sure if I'm understanding.
1.3 of 5. In other words, about a quarter of it.
To clarify, Rachel, if we didn't change the driveway, we would be at...
You still would be asking for a variance.
Of close to the same amount?
But what amount?
It would be about, you would be 23% instead of 24.2.
So it's 1.2%
difference. 1.4.
That answers it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Okay. Yeah, it was like...
Because you said it's the biggest item.
It's the biggest of the additional items that are being improved on the property, right? The home is an existing home.
And how big is the concrete pad in the back?
The concrete pad is in the existing concrete patio?
Yeah.
Do we have that?
So there's an existing concrete pad. There's existing concrete between this. There's a small piece of concrete here with 61 square feet. And then there's a concrete section here that's coming out. So then the new, we're down to 40. Some of it is just changing material. So it's not always a one-to-one. And then we have like the front pad, the front walk. We have that. So I tried to break down what each thing was, how it was getting to that coverage.
So the garages are in the same place, just the entrance is on the other side.
What's on top of the garage?
What's on top of the garage?
These two lines just show where that it's the two-car garage.
No, I'm saying what's
in the house
on
top of the garage is a dining room and the master bedroom.
You mean the new version?
The proposed version, right.
Because the old version...
Currently, it's...
It's a playroom.
You got it, yep.
It's a livable area. It's
livable, yes. Yeah.
What are you doing in this where it says proposed patio? That's on the ground, right?
Yes.
What are you doing? What type of surface is there?
Likely pavers.
Why don't you make those permeable pavers?
So we discussed this in the last meeting.
Yeah.
My opinion, just my opinion. The pervious pavers require a set amount of maintenance in order to maintain effectiveness and to do what they're intended to do. What's that?
What type of maintenance?
To be completely honest, I'm not exactly familiar. I have not installed these pavers before for this reason. I'm a builder for 9 years and it's never been required of me. It's been brought up in many board meetings across multiple municipalities. It's always been shot down. They don't perform effectively if they're not maintained correctly. And the understanding is that once a builder leaves a project, homeowners are not as familiar with those products and don't know how to properly maintain them and sometimes fail to properly maintain them. They also are extremely costly on the homeowner who's seeking to do what we feel is a very reasonable patio to access a pool that's existing on the property. And that for that reason, we would ask to not have the requirement to do that.
But it's 879 square feet?
Is what?
Is that the patio?
Is the rear patio.
Yeah.
So theoretically, if you did some of it or all of it, you could take away the need for a lot coverage variance, right?
That in itself would take away 3%. So we would be at 21.2%.
However, there is an existing concrete patio, so we would have to deduct that from the number you just...
This concrete is counting in this patio.
Right. So if we took this part, the new part, away and just left the concrete, it would be less than this 879.
Yes.
Right.
Because that would put it, at least in my opinion, I guess everyone else can voice their opinions, in a more palatable variance number. The 20.5, even though some of it is being made up by the driveway, is generously over our... I mean, I know you said 24.2?
Yes.
It's 24.2.
Which is still, it's still very on the upper limits of...
No, I understand.
What type of rules? Charles is the patio?
Basically, our rules are if you have permeable pavers, water that goes through it, it doesn't count towards the lot area coverage.
What do they propose?
He just wants regular pavers.
That would reduce it to 21.2. Is that what you said? Did I get that right?
Yeah, if we did the full patio, including if they took out the concrete and the and this,
which would leave the pool with no patio.
No, I think they were saying if you just made all of this pervious instead of impervious.
So where we see on there it says proposed patio and where it says concrete.
Yeah.
That we're talking about all that, like that combined area. That's what we're talking about.
That's, I mean, that's my. I don't know if anyone else has thoughts about it.
Can I say something? Hi, I'm
Hold on. Come on down. State your name.
Sure. Hi, my name is Haida. I'm the homeowner. My friend has pervious surface by her pool. I specifically don't want it. It's very slippery. I have 5 little kids. I don't want it. The reason I don't want so much grass there the way it is right now is also it gets wet, it gets very slippery. So we made our plans very specific to make it very safe. So I just want to be clear. Like, I know there's a lot of options. We went through all these options. They don't work.
If I might add to what you're saying, actually, we at one point proposed, not to this board, but amongst ourselves, proposed the idea of asking for a variance for a patio that wraps all the way around the pool in order to provide safe walking throughout the entire pool. But we reviewed the numbers of those coverages and we minimized that. The driveway originally that we designed together with Rachel was wider and matched the existing driveway. So
this is already the best case scenario. Like, we tried to get it down below 25, which we thought was reasonable.
What's the new material that you want to build there instead of the
umbrella? Instead of pervious surface?
Yeah.
So the pavers that we
that
want
is safer
have texture,
than the
yeah, because they're much more textured and they're not high maintenance, but they're safe. They're what I have right now. And they're not slippery. But right now, the way it is I have a little bit of that paper, I have a lot of grass, and the grass gets very slippery. But I understand that it looks like we're asking for a lot, but I just want you to have an appreciation for the fact that this is already like the whittled down version of what we wanted.
We understand, yeah.
I guess another thing that makes this a unique property is. It is an existing, it's a smaller lot, it is in the R40, but because of where when it was part of the subdivision, it's 29,070 square feet. So it's not, the percentage, of course, then is skewed because everything gets, you know, brought down. So the pool patio is not big compared to a lot of other projects. It's just that in comparison, because of the smaller lot. And I understand that everything scales the same way, but that it is, I think that is also a factor to maybe consider when you're
like
looking at.
The denominator is that much smaller here in this case.
No, what you're saying is the gross square footage would be less.
Yeah, the gross square footage, all of the impervious surface combined is 7,032 square feet, which is not that big. I mean, when you add in, you
40?
Have a house and a driveway and a deck and a pool.
Right.
And the pool is existing, so not even putting in a new pool. It's the pool that they had. They have an existing pool, so you know they bought a house with a pool and all those things. So making it more usable, but it is a unique. Another, I just thought one of the things that makes it unique, so that way it does help when you are trying to analyze and what's different with this compared to others.
Right, because 20% of 40,000 square feet would be 8,000 square
feet.
Yeah,
so then
and this is under the 8,000.
Yep. Yeah.
How? What's the pool size?
The pool is 880 square feet, and they're not making it any bigger. Their pool is what it is.
Or smaller.
Right.
I think it's 20 by 40.
I was going to say that's about the 20 by 40, which
it's
is
around,
like, that's
yeah,
the standard.
Yeah,
well, I mean, because you probably have, like, the lip of the pool, that you know, yes. But it's,
right.
It is not a massive pool. It is the standard.
Did we went to the engineering comments? I'm sorry.
No, but I will introduce them. I prepared a review dated January 19, 2026. I agree with the applicant's engineer about the development coverage. They're proposing 24.2, and its maximum permissible is 20%. We had engineering comments S1 through S16. Did the applicant's engineer have any issues with any of the comments? We discussed the 4% slope at the beginning of the apron to have a safe ingress egress. And there's just some typical engineering details, nothing that's significant or difficult to comply with.
No, we're okay.
I guess we can discuss the five factors.
Just open it up to the
public. Oh, yeah, right. If there's anyone here from the public, would they like to come and speak? Okay, seeing none. Okay, I guess let's discuss the five factors.
Yes, okay. So, as you know, it's a balancing test, weighing the benefit sought by the applicant against any detriment to the health, safety, and welfare of the community that's occasioned by the grant of the variances, guided by five factors, the first factor being whether there be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or any detriment to nearby properties caused by the variances requested.
I don't think so. I mean,
I live right next
door. Yeah, Bill, I was going to say, Bill, why don't you speak on this?
I live right next door, and there is no negative impact for me. Or the neighborhood. Okay. And there's a tiny pool, by the way.
He wants you to make it bigger.
No problem. I'm like, why didn't we ask for 30%?
But that would come with an invite.
Of course.
Wait, okay.
Okay. The next is whether there's any feasible alternatives that would not require a variance, but while still providing the same benefit.
The bottom of the driveway, maybe?
Well, he stated that, you said assuming arguendo, right, that even if you did all of the patio with pervious pavers,
yeah,
you would still be needing
a variance. You would still exceed the 20%. I mean, I think the driveway makes for a safer... It's safer for everybody, so that is
right.
You
so
know,
not
it's
much
just
of
a benefit to everybody, even though it's an increase in impervious. And you can't make the driveway longer and make it so that you can get into both cars in the garage without having this surface. But and we did reduce because originally we wanted to have a wider driveway, and we just brought it down as much as we could so that it's only one car ride in and out. It opens up at the top where they go into the garage, but we can't make it smaller because it wouldn't be usable.
And I guess also the fact that it's significantly undersized, if it was the standard 40,000 or give or take, you probably also wouldn't
be
needing
that coverage.
Yeah, it
would comply in that case. Yep.
I guess that's also something to note.
Yeah, I just think it helps to distinguish it from other properties. So, it's...
Safety issue is definitely a big one. If that mitigates that, it's definitely... it's a good thing, and it's worth it, especially for the homeowner. But in the back, that seems more of like appearance than safety, right? Maintenance, I'm not sure, because I didn't hear anything specific you say.
To
you know, every
the
year
pavers,
you
have like you can have a vacuum truck that comes out to clean it out periodically. You have to watch what you put on it in the winter so that you're not using materials that'll clog the system. It's not an area that's like a severe wear and tear area, but it is more maintenance than just a regular pavers. But the homeowner spoke why she wanted a particular one, said with her children. I mean, we all know that if you found something that works, we try to stay with it because, especially with the kids, like, they can make a mess out of anything, so stick with what works for them.
Right.
It's also near a pool where I would say safety is a top concern.
Right. And then the next factor?
Yeah, the next factor is whether the variance is substantial.
That I have to say it is. I mean, we're gonna clarify that it's a 24.2, and that if there is a grant for approval, we'll make sure that goes.
That's fine. I have no objection to that at all.
Okay.
Does anyone have doesn't think that it is substantial or is more substantial?
It's substantial.
But I understand why, and that driveway, currently, it's my driveway also, it's death defying.
What's the size of the entire lot?
29,000.
So 9,000, 0.8 of an acre, no, 0.67.
Yeah, 0.66.
That makes sense. That's why it's 20.
But that's what part of the issue is, right? If it was the regular 40,000.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I would add that even the proposed home is a very modest home relative to a lot of the newer homes that are being built.
What's the size of the home?
The footprint is 2611, and that includes there's like a deck in the back that's getting changed to an addition.
That makes things a little bit more
right. You have
proportions, right? Like because it's a small lot.
We're really with respect to the board and the severity of the variance, I would argue on my own experience that it's a relatively low ask given the size of the property, which is of course not necessarily the board's fault or problem, but just on a relative basis, I would say that it's a modest project that has any weight to it.
So it's definitely 5% higher. It's higher than
right.
But if you consider the acreage right here, which is lower than 0.7, it's pretty small.
Right.
So 25% of a small lot is not that big. It's not that much.
Right.
It's a valid point. I think to me it makes sense what you're asking for then, because it's a smaller lot.
Yeah. To say it another way, in terms of gross square footage, it's not as substantial as it may seem at first blush.
Yeah.
Again, with respect to the fact that it is 5% over.
Yeah.
4.2.
That kind of offsets that, basically. It's a smaller
right,
lot.
Right.
It offsets like the...
Yeah.
And the last factor?
So the fourth factor is whether there have been any adverse impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district.
I guess we have that sounds...
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, I guess maybe it might make it even a drop safer if, the, you know, coming out in the winter or whatever, backing out of your driveway or something.
Yeah.
Right, because it's right on 3... Is it? Oh, you pull out onto 3...
Onto Hidden Valley.
But we're just off.
You're just right off of 306,
yeah,
right there.
So
on
cars
that.
Do come around that corner pretty fast.
Yeah.
And
where's 306?
Hidden Valley is like N306.
You can see on the map on the top right, your property is highlighted, and you see that.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to note, and I missed mentioning this before. Lou, when he was reviewing it, determined that that there should also be a variance for the pool. For the setback, the 20 feet to the pool, but that's an existing condition, but it wasn't found where the ZBA granted that previously. It was sometime in the past. I forgot to mention it. We didn't have it on our plan because it was existing, but he wanted to have it included, and I apologize that I didn't mention it earlier. I just was reading through his what was noticed.
So that would be a corrective variance, basically.
Correct, yep. The pool's existing, we're not making it bigger, we're not extending it. Whether it was granted and nobody can find it, or it never happened, I don't know. But we don't have proof of it, so kind of correcting an existing condition so that it is official.
A building permit was found, so there was certainly a building permit. Yeah, we just don't have any other information on
nothing showing that
on the pool.
Things happen.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as we're here, he wanted it corrected, and I apologize that I forgot to mention that before, but he did have it in his. And I will have it.
And I guess the last factor
is whether it's self-created.
It is self-created.
Cool. Yeah, kind of.
They could have kept the driver there. It's just less safer. They could have.
Well, that's why I said kind of. The safety is.
Safety is a pretty big deal.
So are there any asks of the? I mean, it sounds like most of the discussion I've heard on the five factors seems to be leaning towards an approval. If I'm reading the room right, and if it is, does anybody have any conditions? I mean, the conditions that I would think of would be compliance, the typical ones, compliance with Martin Spence's memo, the conditions in there. And then the three usual, compliance with the plans, compliance with laws, payment of fees. Is there anything else that anybody would be thinking of in that way?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I think unless anybody has anything else to add or ask, I think you probably are, set to close the hearing and vote if you'd like to.
Sure. Okay. Do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 So either we can vote on it tonight or we can also, we have 60 days, 62 days.
You have 62 days from the close of the public hearing to vote. You can vote tonight and direct a resolution be prepared. You can, those are your options.
Or you could prepare a resolution and we can... let's see, does anyone who wants to vote on this now? I guess if you would like to vote on this now, anyone would like to make a motion?
I'd like to make that motion, to vote now.
Okay,
I'd like to vote now.
And include in that motion to...
go along with Martin Spence's.
The engineering conditions, the three standard conditions.
Right.
And then I guess also include in that a resolution to prepare the attorney, to direct the attorney to... prepare a resolution and
typically we'll keep that one as a separate motion.
Okay,
afterwards.
Okay.
Right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Seeing no abstentions or noes, the motion passes to grant subject to the conditions. Now, is there a second motion to direct the attorney to prepare a resolution in accordance with the granting and subject to the conditions?
Yes, and to authorize the chairman to sign.
And authorizing the chairman to sign said resolution.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seeing no noes or abstention, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You never know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've got this 24.2 for this. And they said that was very small.
We have one more. We have is this your for Littman Lane? Okay. Not last but not least. Come on down.
Sure.
because you're one of the applicants that gave you the endoscopy?
Or
did somebody just sedate you and tell you they gave you an endoscopy?
Could be that.
I don't know if I don't see that over here. I see.
I see.
Yeah, this is it.
Twelve Hidden Valley.
Here I have it. Here. Okay.
12 Hidden Valley.
The only one looking for that. Ready?
Yeah.
Hi. Good evening.
Hold on. Make a motion to make open. Is there a motion to open the public hearing? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Shulam Reinald. I was here at the last meeting regarding representing the owners at 4 Lipman Lane. The project is to remove an existing pool and reinstall a pool in a better direction, and as well as a proposed pool house. We are here to request a small building coverage variance, 0.2, I believe it is, and a side yard setback variance. We spoke about unique projects, unique properties. I think this property in particular is, you know, quite unique. When it comes to where the applicant has placed to install a pool and a pool house on his property, there's a large portion of the property that is a easement, and therefore we cannot build anything in pretty much all of the backyard, which puts us in, you know, the only place we can place this pool and pool house would be where it is proposed. I want to point out that we did have a different plan that was. You know, we created a 2D plan and a 3D plan. Like we had a plan that was way bigger and closer to the property line, and decided to tone it down because we felt like it was too much, and we didn't present it to this board. So I mentioned that last time. There was no jacuzzi. The owners wanted a separate jacuzzi, a hot tub, and we took that out because there was there's essentially no place left. You know, from the last meeting, we addressed the village engineer's comments. Overall, I think the pool is a reasonable size. It's not a big pool. Like it's not so much bigger than the standard size pool. It's 21 by 44, and patio is also limited about the pool to minimal.
Before the end of wherever Ives was.
Yeah.
Across the street from that.
Okay.
Lipman Lane.
Yeah. What house is this?
On the inside.
This is the new
towards,
house.
Towards
that's new house, right?
Old Pomona Road.
This is the new house?
No.
It's the first right off of New Pomona Road on the cul-de-sac.
First right?
Yeah. As you turn, take a right on 306 or a left on 306.
It was just sold?
Recently,
about half a year ago,
a little over
a
year.
That's the one with the conservation easement in the back?
Yeah. Correct. The
entire backyard is a conservation easement.
So this is the easement here.
This is Lipman
Lane here. 306 is like right here. This and Pomona Road is right here.
Yeah, okay. It's the first house.
Yeah, the first house on the inside.
First
left.
On the right?
Yeah, if you go in, it's a on the left. If you
on the left. In, if you're coming in,
it's
on the left. If you're coming in, it's on the corner, like, house on the left.
And then Old Pomona Road is, like, over here.
Yeah. So what's...
The owner was aware when he bought the property that there is some sort of easement, but when I showed him, the first time that we were going to plan a project, I'm like, the entire backyard is kind of off limits. So...
So what did they want? What did they get locked?
Oh, so they want the lock cover. Right? The lock, where's the...
I'm going to work backwards over here. Am I reading this right?
I know it's 9 o'clock.
Max building, total all building is 15.2. This requires a variance of 0.2.
That's correct.
But... Well, if you're building a cabana, Doesn't the cabana come to an accessory use? And
Lou doesn't count it that way. Like he counts it. I had that discussion with Lou, and I think we discussed it last time I was here. I don't know the specifics, but I discussed it with Lou. I don't remember. I thought 0.2%, even though it's an accessory.
Yeah, the building inspector takes the principal dwelling, the driveway that gets you to your principal dwelling, and that's part of the 15%. All the immediate needs to access the building, as well as the building. And then there's, to get to the 20%, it's all the pools and accessory structures that are not as necessary as the immediate building, the principal building.
I believe that there was a resolution or something passed in order to have additional coverage for an accessory structure, but he does still count it.
Right, that's what I'm right. We went up to the extra 5% to have including accessory dwellings for a total lot coverage of 20%.
But the building coverage does count it, so that hence we need 0.2%, which is a minor variance.
Right.
I mean, I want to point out the unique shape of the pool house running alongside, like it's a, I guess what people would consider a pizza shape, a triangle. So we stay, correct. Stay far enough on the property line.
Where's the property?
There's 120 square foot. That 0.2% is 120 square foot that they're over.
Right. Which is pretty small.
So what are you doing to mitigate the impact on the habitat of the timber rattlesnake?
Build a good barbecue right there for the snake.
That's a great idea.
That wasn't serious,
but no.
But we don't like snakes.
We shouldn't tell the owner there's any.
I just saw that in the application.
I asked about it. They're asking 120 square feet, right?
We're only asking a building coverage, not the whole coverage.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, half of the property can't use. Right. Yeah.
It's kind of a shame, but he has a beautiful backyard there.
It is a beautiful backyard, beautiful woods.
I mean, I drive by, I'm over here, so it's a conservation easement. Yeah.
I want to point out as well that one of the comments, and this was discussed by the last meeting, was that as of January 1st, the EC considers different things, additional sections of properties as wetlands, and we did hire a wetlands consulting firm to do a jurisdictional determination. I believe the village council, the village attorney, did mention that you guys can approve it
subject to.
We can't do it just due to the weather. I mean, there's supposed to be the snow on the ground. They can't do the determination right now. So hopefully things turn around. We move back from, back into New York. It was freezing.
Right.
So I know there's a stream that goes under Pomona Road. That goes along the back of the property?
I don't believe so.
Well, there's a stream here in the property, though.
I'm not sure who's referring to. I think there's another one that goes down Babcock Lane. It doesn't. There is one. I know that there's one stream that goes down Babcock Lane, which is the other.
Pomona Road?
I don't believe that it comes down this block, but I might be wrong.
Goes between where they want, 34 New Pomona Road and 38 and 36 New Pomona Road. There's a stream right there.
I'm not sure if this one
which also has an easement.
Which also has an easement.
I mean, we're not proposing anything. It was an easement, approaching on these. The DEC permit would be for being within a buffer zone, within 100 feet, which there is existing pool already built within 100 feet.
Not worried about being a navigable waterway.
Then
And you get the federal group.
What's the
ridiculous.
That one's tiny. It's 0.2.
No, I'm not sure what changed, but really it wasn't considered wetlands within 100 feet before the new years.
The cabana brings a big, a very big variance.
I mean, the 47% kind of just.
It does sound like a lot, and without context, I believe that the property just doesn't give the person a lot of space to do anything in regards to a pool and pool house. So I believe they're, you know, it does sound like a lot, but in this situation, there's not much, there's no other way for him to do something like this. And I believe there's a precedent like this. We went further back. I pointed out we did, you know, try to convince the owners to make it smaller because we didn't want to, you know, ask for something ridiculous or that has no precedent in this village.
Right. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, I guess we can.
Real quick, I see. One of my notes says the neighbor on that side supports the project. Was there a letter? Did anybody submit a letter, or that was just the applicant representing that? Or
so I know the neighbor that's adjacent to this property. The only neighbor that really shares the property, and I did discuss the project with him, and he does. I mean, he was willing to come down here, write a letter. I don't think that makes any that made any difference. But
okay, I just wasn't sure.
Record, he does support the project. We also, which is not shown here on the site plan. I do have a landscape plan that I can submit, but I agreed to plant, you know, privacy. You know, there is privacy trees. Some of them are dead. We agreed to replace some of them, and you know. Add landscaping to give him his privacy. He just he installed the pool himself, so it kind of benefits him too.
Right.
Can you do you have a landscape plan, or you said you're going to you're?
Yeah, I do have a 2D plan. We were still working out the, you know, the exact details with the owner. I do have a 2D plan. Okay. You know.
So there's privacy screening and some planting here on the side. Some planting, you know, to create privacy from the driveway. We also addressed putting a curb here for safety as the village engineer requested.
Oh, curb, so in case a car doesn't roll into the
correct.
Pool.
Correct. There was nothing for fire. I mean, there is existing.
It's great.
We'll put
it back.
It is a great difference.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good suggestion by the village engineer. So this is all this is the neighbor, right? This is the neighbor over here. This is proposed privacy screening and some planting. We can't really do any planting in the conservation easement. I mean, we would do planting over here if we could, but that's not allowed.
Where's the property line?
This is the property line here, and the property goes way further back here, but this line right here, an imaginary line, is
the
conservation
easement.
Correct. I have the, this is the...
Okay. I think we can go start going through the five factors.
Okay.
I mean, right, is anyone not ready to go through the five factors? You're not. Okay. We could motion not ready to go through the five factors. We have the ability to put this over to the next one and vote then, or
should the hearing still open? So your options are, you know, you can either discuss the five factors on the record tonight before you close the hearing. You could keep the hearing open to the next meeting, and then have the applicant back, consider if there's anything more that you want to ask of the applicant. If you were inclined to do that, and you want to hear more from the applicant, or you want a written the applicant, the record should reflect that the applicant did show the board a landscaping plan on a electronically. But if anybody wanted them to submit that, you could have them submit that for your review, hard copy in advance of the next meeting if you wanted to keep the hearing open. If you have any, but the key is, if you're going to keep it open, typically you'd keep it open for a reason, because you want to hear from the applicant or you want to think about it more and have a further discussion at the next meeting after contemplating it more. Does all that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of mishmashed it all together.
No,
perfect sense.
I mean, if you want to add, if you want us to add the landscaping, the trees on the property line and have that conditionally approved based on that, we can do that also and show it on the site plan. That's not a problem. It's also something we can do.
Who wants to discuss the five factors now on the record? Or does anyone have a motion to close the public hearing or put it over to vote to the next time?
Well, is there anything specific, Moshe, that you need from the applicant, or you just need to review the plan?
I'm just not clear on it. I'm not clear what else can possibly be done. And maybe there is something else I can be done. That's all. But if I'm the only one that holding it,
I mean, to lessen the variance, I think.
Yeah,
so he's here. This is the house, right? I mean, he can't really, unless you want to put a slide, I guess, from here to there. He can't put the pool on, like, it would be underneath, right? He would jump out of his house into the pool.
The pool, it has to be 10 feet by building code. It has to be 10 feet away from the house. I forgot to mention that. So, like, moving everything closer to the house is also not an option. I want to point out there is equipment, AC units and other pieces of equipment on that side of the house. So move the whole project closer to the house is not really an option. There is no space. You would be staying without patio, plus the pool cannot be moved. It's now 10.9 feet, and it cannot be closer than 10 feet. So it's pretty much at its, closest point it can be by building code.
There is a pool right now that there's an open permit. I mean, the permit was closed before he had to close on the property. They put in a new pool, and they're taking the pool out and putting a new pool in because the space is so small that he can't build anything.
Correct. There is an existing pool that is being removed and turned around.
A new granite pool.
Correct. So they
right.
So they can get it further away. If there's any questions that I can help you.
So is the cabana the biggest deal or the pool? I would say it seems like the pool has.
How many square feet is the cabana?
The total square footage of the cabana is 862 square feet.
Can you show us again the electronic?
The landscape plan?
Yeah, so we can see the cabana better.
You want the 3D?
I believe
so.
You have the architectural one.
Let's see if
I think this is the architectural one.
Yeah, this is a good. Let's see if we can see the cabana. So this is all canceled?
No.
This is in the plan.
This is all in the plan. This is what you're seeing here, right here, is this. Just
mikvah,
sauna, utility room, bathroom.
So this is 12 feet from the property
12.7,
line?
Which is, I believe, 12 foot 8.
That's 10?
No. This is the closest point. So everything just from here on out goes further away.
So what's 10.6?
10.6 is the side, the dimension of
the side
section.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
This would be probably significantly further than
16.
That.
16.
Correct.
Of the board thing.
Well, I think we can go through the factors and see where we get.
But we always have the alternative, we can close the meeting.
Or we can, right.
We can go through the factors on the record, and we have 62 days in which to vote. So if you need more time to contemplate or you want to see the land, or the alternative, keep it open and ask for the landscaping plan if that's a concern, and ask them to submit it on paper so everyone can, you know.
I do want to ask from the board, please, to consider the fact that, you know, during changing the plans, to accommodate this smaller, you know, a lot of time has gone by and the summer is really close and they'd really like to have some portion of the summer. So pushing this to next meeting, I mean, if there's a reason, I respect that, but if we can take that into consideration, the time frame of the project.
Okay, let's discuss the five factors on the record, and then let's make a motion to, I guess we can close the public hearing.
We can go through the five factors
on the record,
and if there's any questions,
fine.
Of the applicant.
Okay, let's go through the five factors.
Yeah. Okay. Again, as the board's aware, it's a balancing test, weighing the benefits sought by the applicant against any detriment to the health, safety, and welfare of the community by the grant. Guided by the five factors, the first factor is whether it be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or any detriment to nearby properties caused by the grant of the area variances.
I don't think it's, I mean, you definitely can't see it. I mean, you can't see it from the street at all.
Can't see it from the street. There's only one neighbor that it would be affecting, which, as I mentioned, is in favor of this.
Right, and they also didn't come to, like, I see it, right? If you didn't come down to state your...
No, he was our customer. We did even his pool. Like, he was okay.
So I discussed it with him, and
no objections have been stated on the record.
That's right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, for you, me now, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's hearsay.
There's always a way around.
Right.
Hearsay, come on.
Okay. Right. Okay.
No indication on the record that there's that it creates an unusual disturbances.
Agreed.
Okay, second factor.
Okay, the second factor is whether there's any feasible alternatives to achieve the same benefit without requiring an area variance.
Have a pool without a cabana or a cabana without a pool. But
that's the truth.
But you don't have a backyard, so...
Right. You also you have half a backyard that is a conservation easement.
Half a property.
Right. Like a regular person would be able to build this in his backyard without having this.
What do you know? What's the total square foot of the easement?
So total square footage of the easement.
Yes. We could just balance that against the right.
It's significant. I mean, I can try to do this quick. I mean,
you can ballpark it.
It looks. I mean, if you look at the
60% of the property,
yeah, it looks like. Close to that, like significant portion of the property. Isn't
so more than 20, more than 20,000 square feet.
Yes.
Yes. I think quite a bit more than that.
I think because of the conservation easement, there is no feasible alternative to achieve what the petitioner is asking for.
There's no alternative to do a project like this anywhere else on the lot.
If you want a pool and a cabana, there's no way.
Right. The next is whether the variances sought are substantial.
Yes.
It's close to the property line. That would be the biggest concern here. Right?
Yeah, I mean the side yards, is that the substantial? Obviously the point two, I don't think anyone here has any issue with that.
Especially
one.
Especially the 60% of that. That's not right.
But yeah, the 47% is quite substantial. I mean, it's definitely, I think.
As I said, it is substantial, although I think two points I think. Number one is the inspectors. There's precedent in this village for projects being this close to the property line, and I think this property's uniqueness. And I know everybody said it tonight, but I feel like, you know, there's barely any space. It's not like, you know, the guy's ending up with.
What else can be minimized from the cabana?
without significantly changing it, not much. I mean, we kind of just jammed everything in. It's like a mini version of everything that the owner wanted. As I mentioned before, he wanted a jacuzzi as well. He's not getting that. There's no space for it.
And everything else that he has is smaller than the usual size of his. Like
correct.
For a wet sauna, it's a small wet sauna.
I wish I had the other version. We had a different version, and I like, you know, when they say he brought him down to reality, and I kind of, you know, convinced him that this is way more reasonable and fair. So.
If you had went with the original plan, I would have applied for membership.
Right.
Me as well.
You can go there. He'll not notice you.
All right. You good with that? Next factor is whether there be any adverse impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district.
Doesn't seem like it, right? There's no engineering that we're going to have.
No negative impacts. They're providing subsurface detention for any increase in runoff stormwater-wise, just similar to all other applications. My memo dated January 20th, 2026 identified engineering comments, nothing significant. And does the applicant have any issues with complying with these conditions? Thank you.
Okay, and then the last factor is whether it's self-created.
Self-created, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, of course, everything's self-created. I mean, they moved in knowing that they're going to want to have a pool. So they decided that.
I mean, that's the biggest problem. People move in. I find that, like, old clients come in, like, oh, I can't do nothing here. I mean, they don't know. They're buying a property. They tell me they're easing, but they don't know the significance of it, like, you can't do anything.
I think as I mentioned, everything is self-created.
Exactly.
If
property was like the other case was, their driveway was very, you know, it's very steep and it's not safe. So it is self-created, but because the nature of the property, I mean,
I agree.
This is a bit more on the side of self-created, right? You want to be cabana. It's pretty much, I view it as 100% self-created here. If anything is self-created.
I'm not arguing. I think it is self-created. No, I think it is a reasonable ask, though, and wouldn't be an issue should there have not been 60% of the property conservation easement. So that's a factor, too.
Yeah, but they obviously saw it before. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but we come to that, and that it's not the the fatal flaw though in this application. Okay.
Okay, so, you know, I don't know what the board's pleasure is, but it sounds. I mean, I'm not much sure which way you're going to go, but if you were considering a grant, the conditions that I've heard or that I think would be appropriate would be. First, that DEC, subject to obtaining any DEC permits, you know, providing the landscape plan, implementing the screening, landscaping, and making that subject to the final review and approval of Mr. Spence, subject to the Spence memorandum and those conditions dated January 2026, and then the three other standard conditions of compliance with the plans. Payment of fees, compliance with all other laws, rules, and regulations. That would be what I would see if you're inclined to go that way. Your options would be right now to close the hearing and vote. You make a motion of that effect, close the hearing and wait. If you're more comfortable getting the landscape plan and asking that it be incorporated into the new plans and submitted for the board's specific review at the next meeting. That's also something you could do and then vote at the next meeting, and that'll be incorporated in the plans rather than the way it's been described on the record. Those are the primary options that we have.
Do you have a motion? We'll go one step at a time. We have a motion to close the public hearing.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
I would tackle the issue first before you make a motion to close the public hearing. That would preclude the bringing in the landscape plan in and then voting to incorporate the landscape plan. What we want is the landscape plan to be part of accepted while the hearing is open, ideally. So I would tackle that issue first, I think.
Okay.
So do you guys want to submit a new landscape plan that can be incorporated into?
I mean, you can initially approve it, and we should add it on the site plan, and I'll do that. That's not a problem. I mean,
same like the other applicants. I mean, we actually have a 2D plan, but same concept.
Right. They're a little bit ahead of where the other applicants were on the landscape plan, so they showed you something already.
I saw the trees there on the plan, but does the engineer have maybe specific comments on what should be used on the boundary there?
Because it's a tight space, I think I saw some sort of hedge, like an arborvitae hedge, that is along that property line that kind of stays in its own, in its location and not grow too wide. That would be appropriate.
Correct. I want to point out there is privacy screening currently. It's just some of those trees are dead or unhealthy right now.
Not only for the benefit of the neighbor, also for his benefit. I mean,
sure.
They're modest. Right. They want to be.
You'd be okay with using this hedge?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need a motion for it, or they could just?
No, I guess that would be, you know, how the board feels will just dictate which direction it goes, right? So if you want to, if the board is okay with that, then you could close the public hearing, and not, you know, and make it subject to, like the prior ones.
Okay.
You know, if you're not and you want to see it, then you'd keep the public hearing open and say, we want to see it before we vote.
As long as they, I mean, at least for me, as long as they, I guess, on the record, affirm that they're going to do it, I guess that's good enough. I mean,
we could also make it a condition.
Yeah, we'll make it a condition.
Yeah, either way, I'd recommend it be a condition.
I would be happy with approving it subject to the condition.
So early.
Okay, so let's, I guess let's make a motion to, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion to close the public hearing passes. Is there a motion to either approve or deny the applicant's application?
I move to approve subject to the conditions set forth on the record.
Right, the DEC, the implementation of appropriate screening subject to review and approval by the village engineer, compliance with the Spence memo, and the three other standard standard conditions.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Seeing no noes, the motion passes to approve the application subject to the stated conditions.
Thank you.
We have one more.
One more motion.
Yeah, is there a motion to direct the attorney to prepare a resolution in accordance with the grant of the application?
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Before we do the final vote, also authorizing the chairman to sign.
To sign, yes. And including the condition on the site, the vegetation.
Certainly, I always incorporate whatever conditions are stated. I incorporate them and I talk about the substance of it and the uniqueness of the situation.
With that amendment, aye.
Okay. So is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Seeing that there is no noes, the motion passes to direct the attorney to prepare the resolution in accordance with the grant herein, subject to state conditions. Okay. I think no more further business. I can adjourn this meeting at 9:30. What? We didn't approve the minutes first?
Sounds like my grandpa.
Sorry, I have one further action of business. We didn't, the clerk is pointing out we did not approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Thank you. Good night. Good night. Thank
you, good night.
Second.
Okay. favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now I can close the meeting at still at 9:37. Well done, everybody.